Today in John's Gospel, Jesus heals the sick. He feeds the 5,000. He avoids being forcibly made king. And he walks on water. All in a day's work. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all include the feeding of the 5,000. What makes John's version unique is his development of Jesus' character. As John often tells us, he wants us to believe, he wants us to trust in this Messiah named Jesus. He wants us to get to know Jesus, who continually evades being pinned down, continues to avoid being reduced into a manageable formula, as the crowds want to make him into. In other words, our scripture does not just want us to learn about Jesus, but to trust in him, and to realize the tremendous impact that knowing him will have on our lives. Jesus is not just a miracle worker, rightful king, or a defier of the laws of physics. Jesus is God himself, John shows us. The Word made flesh, as John earlier tells us, in the body and the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus gathers this large crowd because of all the healings they witnessed and heard about that day. Then Jesus asks Philip where they're going to find the nearest grocery store to feed this 5,000. Yes, I believe this is another example of Jesus' sense of humor. Where are we going to buy this food? Jesus is preparing his disciples for what he's going to do next, John tells us. When Andrew points out the 5 loaves and 2 fish the boy had, Jesus says, "That's enough. We're ready for supper." Somehow, in their passing the food to one another, we're not exactly sure, the bread and the fish are enough. What seemed small and insignificant is sufficient to feed this 5,000-member crowd. Because of that miracle, the crowd believes that Jesus is prophet and king. They try to take him by force and make him king right then and there. And somehow Jesus escapes and goes back up to the mountain by himself. The disciples decide to cross the Sea of Galilee without Jesus. And during a storm, they see Jesus walking on the water. And once they get over their fear, they invite him into the boat. And somehow, even though they're in the middle, they're miles out into the middle of the sea, as soon as Jesus enters the boat hits the other side of the sea. It's like a time warp or a wormhole that Jesus takes them through to the other side. One moment they're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, and the next moment they're on dry land. The thread that ties all of these miracles together is the person of Jesus, who refuses to be understood simply or to be put into a box. Jesus will not let people so easily reduce him into something much less significant than who he truly is. Think about the question Christians often ask. WWJD, what would Jesus do? After an encounter with Jesus on this day, we should say, how could I possibly predict what Jesus would do? He's not predictable. And so John introduces us to this Jesus who surpasses knowledge, as Paul says, who is powerfully at work within us and is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine. To him, Paul says, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This scripture teaches us the lesson that the large crowd and the disciples hopefully learned that day. The first lesson: don't underestimate what God can do through few resources at his hands. It's not about our talent, our riches, our bread, our fish. It's about the Lord who provides. God is able to use what few resources that boy had that day. And God loves to humble us, I believe. He loves to do great things through our little resources. Second, do not politicize Jesus. The crowd tried to forcibly make him the king of Israel that day, which actually fell short of who he truly is. We don't do God any favors when we make Jesus into our own political image. We don't do him any favors when we make him out to be a socialist, a libertarian, a Democrat, a Republican. His reign knows no boundaries. His dominion cannot be reduced to just one little corner of this vast universe, let alone somewhere on our political spectrum. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He would not let them make him into something less than what he was. Third lesson: Jesus is not a passenger in our life's storms. He'll take us safely to the other side. He is the goal and the destination. To receive him into our crafts and to love him and trust in him above all things. Jesus will feed another crowd again with what will appear to be a small resource: his body and blood. He'll take a loaf of bread and he'll say, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." He'll take the cup and say, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And he won't satisfy just a large crowd, but he'll satisfy generation after generation and every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. He'll forgive all their sins and he'll assure them of everlasting life. The crowds will try to take Jesus by force again. This time, Jesus will let them. They will arrest him. They'll mock him as king this time because he will not fit into their small-minded or darkened understanding of who he truly is. But in Jesus' death and resurrection, he will confirm that he is king of the universe, and his reign will accomplish far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine. Because this Jesus is unimaginable. To him be all glory indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.